Come on, it's Easter. You can say a better amen than that. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, let's give a great, on the count of three, I want you to give the biggest praise that you've given on an Easter Sunday morning in 2 years, okay? One, two, three, come on. Come on, church. He's risen. Come on. Come on, shout it like you mean it today. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I got, you know, it's just so good to be here. I looked at Pastor Ryan earlier this morning. I said the attendance is up 100% this year from a year ago. Maybe we need to write a book on how to grow a church in 12 months. That's just a joke. Although, I am here to tell you today that City Church is 24 years old today. 24 years ago, we had our first gathering in our home with a Easter brunch. And I didn't say this in the first service, and I didn't ask anybody if I could do it. But I just step out there, and if I get in trouble for it later, help me out. I think next year, for our 25th anniversary, we should have Easter brunch together. What do you think? And celebrate. My mind is just a turning. 25 years, that's pretty amazing. And that's very little to do with myself. And I get emails on my iPad. And Aaron just sent me an email. Pastor Aaron said, I want an omelet. Just now. How many of you want an omelet? How many of you want some bacon? Come on. How about some sausage? How about some salad? I lost you on that. What happened? But I think 25 years, I think that's amazing. 25 years ago, my son Ben was 16. Stand up, Ben, so everybody can see you guys. Just stay standing until I get done. My son Ryan was 13. Stand up, Ryan. Pastor Ryan today here in the house. And my son Garrett was 6 years old. Stand up, buddy. Stand up. Stand up or I'm not going to move on. There you go. Come on. And my wife was 26. Honey, stand up right now. Come on, put your hands together for the first lady here. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you today. So grateful to be together. So grateful for the coffee truck this morning in the first service. Usually Paulie brings me a double shot, and I don't know what happened to him this morning. He was on the bus. And so after that, I get done and I walk up back. He's got one. I talked to my grandson, Andrew. He didn't have time to get me the one in the first service. So I get done with Paulie's, and here's Andrew with another. So I got four shots of glory and anointing in me this morning. Get ready. It's going to be a great day today. I'm so grateful for all of you that have given and that do give. I was reminded of something this morning. A few years ago, I was asked to come to Lima, or it was Rochester, Basic, an outreach of Elam Bible College, had their conference there, and I was asked to come and take the offering. And as I was pondering on that, I thought, there's going to be a whole lot of, it's a college ministry, and I think there was probably that night maybe 700 college students. And I thought to myself, there's going to be some college students there that don't have anything to give. And I thought, and I contemplated, and I thought, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get, I went to the bank, I don't know, I think I got maybe 300 or 400 $1 bills. Because that night, I wanted everybody to engage in sewing. Even if they didn't have it, I wanted to give them something. So I stood up there and I talked to them about giving, sowing, and reaping as a man giveth. Whatsoever man soweth, that will he receive. If you don't plan anything, nothing comes back. So I sowed that dollar, and they went. I sold that dollar and they put it in the offering bucket. You say, what's that got to do with anything? As a man sows, whatever you plant. How many gardeners do I have here today? I just love this time of year. I'm thinking about what I'm going to plant in the ground. I've had grass seed in the ground 3 weeks. And I was just sitting here thinking this morning. You know, the Lord gave, I'm pretty sure, probably 95% of everyone in here some money in their hands through what was called stimulus checks. Now, some of you had that come into your hand. You didn't think about the Lord. But I want to encourage every one of you. The offering is taken. We're all done. But I want to see every one of you blessed in a powerful way in 2021. I want you to think about that just for a minute. On Easter Sunday. You know why? Because Jesus gave everything. And if you've never participated in giving to Him, and I've said this before, give if you don't want to give here, give wherever, but give. Because as you give, as Pastor Aaron said, when you give, you're refreshed. And God has great things for you. Come on. Can you say amen with me this morning on that? One more thing. We had a leader meeting this past week about children's ministry. And I just want to say this. We love your kids. And Pastor Sam and I think Cheryl are going to have some gifts. I don't know who she got. Going to give all the kids. Your kids are special and precious to us. And if your kids begin to cry or whatever, they don't bother me. Now, I mean, if they're just off the chain and you want to take them out back, it's fine. No, they're not bothering anybody. They might bother somebody, but they'll get over it. We love your kids. We're waiting and trying to find in the right time to resume, and we will. But in the meantime, your kids do not bother anybody. Come on. We love your kids. We want to be a part of their lives. And you know what? In this season, it's been really precious to see many of the kids sitting with their family. Listen, I've always been a proponent of letting our kids see us, not only in the bad time, but in the times when God is dealing with us as a parent. And you need to let your kids see that. Let your, not only just in church, but at home, you know, instead of, you know, maybe they only knowing you by in a moment where you get upset or you're tired, or let them see God work in your life, and let them see tears come down your face sometimes. Let them see you with your hand in the air. It'll impact their life. It'll change them forever. Come on, say amen with me on that today. Lord, thank you for the next few minutes. Thank you for that. Those kids that I just heard say amen. God bless them. Bless our children, Lord. Give them, God, great grace in this season, I pray. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I'm just so excited and thankful to be here today. I'm just going to be just a few minutes because we want to give you all the time together today. Jesus, one of the greatest goal of his life was to do what his Father had told him to do. In John 4 and verse 34, the Bible says he came to do the will of him who sent him to finish his work. I want you to remember that phrase, finish his work. And one of the last phrases that Jesus said on the cross of Calvary in John chapter 19, it's incredible. In verse 28, he said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished in order that the scripture would be fulfilled, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. Verse 30, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This is an incredible audible statement to coincide with what he said in John chapter 4, that he came to do his Father's will. And then when he had did it, and he had completed it, he said this word, it is finished. There's one little Greek word that describes what it took three English words to describe, and the word is tetelestai. It means to be completed, to bring to an end, to accomplish. And it's a crucial word because it identifies a course of action. It means that he had accomplished exactly what he had set out to do. But the word has more significance to it than that, because it's not only an action that has been completed, but it's also an action with results that are continuing into the present. Although he said it was finished, there, but God is still working now, connected to what he had done then. He's working in your heart. He's working in my heart. And this happened so it would still work and be in the progress today. Some of us are a work in progress. Come on, are you with me on that? And he did this so that we could know that he is not done with us, but he's just beginning on us. So what can we learn about this? Number one, we ask the question, what is finished? Jesus, it's very important to know, did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Because there was a debt that needed to be paid that none of us had the ability to pay. We owed a debt we could not pay, and he paid a debt that he did not owe. And sin, it's this debt incurred by every single person. I don't care how cute your baby is. My kids were all beautiful and cute, and I didn't have to teach one of them to do wrong. They were born in the world, and you are too, with sin in their lives. With the first Adam, sin entered the world. In the second Adam, Jesus came to redeem us from the law of sin and death, from the law of the trouble that has been created in our lives. And no matter how good you and I are, or how good somebody is, it isn't enough to pay for the sins that we have committed. And I've been with people and dealt with people in the last days of their lives for decades now. And every once in a while, when I talk to somebody, and I pretty much don't give anybody a way out anymore, when I pray for somebody that I know their last few days on this earth, I don't ask them if they want to. I say, pray with me. Because I want them to go on that journey with Jesus Christ that he has promised with us. And whether it's on your deathbed or unexpected, you can make that commitment to him. But I've had some people say to me, well, I've been a good person. I can see this one individual looking at me and say, I've been a good man. Like, that is enough to get you into heaven. And being a good man or a good woman is amazing, and continue to do so. But it doesn't pay for the sin that you and I have committed or will commit. The only one that can pay for that is Jesus Christ through his shed blood, no matter how good you are. I love to watch all of my grandkids play sports. I love to see them. They're all competitive. Each one of them has a little different level to them. My youngest two, Andrew and Ryan, I think they get some of their more competitiveness from their mother. They're a little more covert in it. They're a little more quieter in it. But make no mistake, they want to win. Then I think about my granddaughter, Jamin. She's out there. She's different than all the other ones. She's just happy and smiling. She wants to win. And then there's Judah. When she plays basketball, it's a combination of basketball and roller derby. She is going to win. Then there's Gabriel. Gabe he's a different sort. He can be out there playing, and so I've seen people knock into him and hit him when nobody's looking. He just turns around and he gives them this big smile. And I remember one of the games that he was going to play, and it was an important game. And all my sons, especially Ben, he could see the look on my face. I have a little competitiveness in me. A little. And you want me to be competitive when it's praying for your family. I will not let the enemy have rule over him. I want to win in that, believe me. And so Ben says, Dad, control yourself. I said, what are you talking about? I don't control myself. Now, meantime, in the background, they didn't know this. I bought a bullhorn. And I was bringing it with me. And I'm walking out my garage with a bullhorn one day, and I felt the Lord speak to me louder than he does when I get ready to speak a message. He said, don't do it. I have that bullhorn in my garage. Said people come to my house, they go, what's that for? And I got into the game, and Ben says to me again, he gets all, you know, he's dad. He's the boss now. Dad, behave yourself, because I don't want them kicking you out of the game and the whole city and in the region knowing Pastor Marty got booted out of the basketball game because he couldn't behave himself. Only to figure and to find out that my son Ben got kicked out of the game. Not one time, but he got kicked out two times. Come on, can you say a big amen on that? But I look at my kids and I think, they can do no wrong. Come on, ref, that basket went in. You just didn't see it like I saw. It went through the rim and some wind came in and blew it back out. You need to give them the points, but it doesn't count that way. No matter how good they are, it doesn't pay the price that Jesus paid for you and I. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God in John chapter 1 and verse 29, who taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you thankful for that today, that he takes away our sin? And something had to address the sin of humanity, and his death was the only certainty for our deliverance. And Jesus says at the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. But what was the payment? In Colossians 2:13, it said, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal documents, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He took the debt that we owed. And he not only paid the price full at Calvary for it, but he took away the evil effects that it would have on our lives later. Let me tell you something. I've seen people that have come into the church. The world has just pummeled them to the ground. The enemy has gotten a hold of their life and has tried to destroy them, and you can see it. And then I've seen that same person allow God to transform their lives, and a year, 2 years, 5 years later, when you look at them, you can't even believe that it's the same person, because Jesus not only forgives you of your sin, he takes away the sting of death, hell, and the grave. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus today. And no one made him pay. No one puts him in a predicament that he can't move out of. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 10, in verse 18, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down because I love everyone. I lay it down. But what is the proof of the payment? You know, when you and I pay something, you want proof the payment has been made. If you go to a restaurant and you pay, the server will bring you, they'll say, sign here, you keep the yellow copy, and the white copy is ours. My brothers and sisters, it is the resurrection on early Sunday morning that places Jesus Christ in a class all by himself. And this is the receipt of the payment that he has made for you and I. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:15-17, that if it had not been that way, if Christ had not been raised, your faith would be futile and you are still in your sins, and you and I all just ought to go home. But aren't you glad that he made that payment for you and I, and that he not only died on the cross, but he rose again on that third day? And when you and I believe that, he changes everything in our lives again. And that is the power of the resurrection. I want to read this verse of scripture in John chapter 20. The Bible says two were running together towards the tomb, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter. That was John. and came to the tomb first, and he stooped to look in, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there. However, he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered the tomb, and he looked at the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded in a place, remember this, all by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb also entered, and he saw, and he believed. I love that. John saw the linen wrappings, and he saw that the face cloth, which was around the head of Jesus, Jesus would have a loin cloth and a face cloth. He saw the two had been separated. And he saw that the head cloth was folded along the side. In order to understand the significance of this folded napkin, you have to understand a little bit of the Hebrew tradition of that day. The folded napkin had to do with the master and his servant. This is so cool. And every Jewish boy knows this tradition. When the servant set the dinner table for the master, he made sure that it was perfectly put together. And then the servant would wait just out of sight until the master had finished eating. And no servant would dare touch the table until the master was finished. Now, when the master was finished eating, he would rise from the table. He would wipe his hands on the napkin. And when he was finished, he'd wad it up and throw it on the table. And the servant would come and he would clear the table. But if he wadded the napkin, it meant he was done with the meal. But if the master folded the napkin and laid it down and got up, the servant would know not to touch the table because the folded napkin meant he was coming back. I said he was coming back. And the Bible says in Revelation 19, he'll come on a white horse, and his rider is called Faithful and True. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a vesture dipped in blood, and on it written, the Word of God. Someday, that western sky will break forth, and we will see that rider on that white horse. And the Bible says that those who died and those who remain will be caught up together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The napkin has been folded. He's coming back. The work is finished, but he's going to come back, and he's going to take those that he bought with his blood, and he's forgiven, and he's wiped their sin away, and he remembers it no more. Come on, aren't you grateful for that today? And when they saw that, hope and life begin to flow back into their lives. And for some of you, you can have that same experience today. And then here's my last point. What will you do? This is so important. John said when he saw, he believed. We must believe. We must make the commitment to Jesus and acknowledge that he died for you and I and that he is alive again. And it's one thing to believe the story, but it's another thing to make it part of your story. I don't know about any of you, but before I knew Jesus, I was on a quick train going nowhere. I was on a pathway of destruction, a highway to hell. But when the gospel was preached to me like it is coming to you today, and for some of you at home that have maybe never heard it before, it began to change my life. As it come into my heart, it began to change my story. And when I believed it and when I received it and believed that Christ had paid for my sin and that I could be a new creature in him, all things at that moment were slowly being put away, cast away, and I could look and lift up my head and say with a multitude of angelic hosts, he hath made all things brand new in my life. And when it's part of your story, strongholds are broken. Listen to me. Addictions are done away with. The old life and its negative habits begin to slowly dissipate. And you can say with Jesus, tetelestai, over your life, over your family, over your circumstances, because life is beginning for you again. Come on today. And some of you are living with things in your life that are hindering you, what God has created for you. And he wants you to speak over that part of your life. It's finished. It's finished. You might not see it yet, but I can tell you today, it is finished. And God has more in front of you than you can even imagine. And I know for some of you are saying today, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand what I've been through. I hear that all the time. And I have empathy for people like that. But can I tell you, I might not understand, but he understands what you have been through, and he cares. And I want to encourage you today that although it is finished on the cross, he's not finished with you. I said he is not finished with you. What happened on Friday was incredible, but Sunday was coming. And if we stayed stuck in what happened just on Friday, if we saw that and we had no hope, we would live in discouragement and in despair. And God at that moment wants you and I to know that he's not done with your story. He's not done with your life. He's not done with your children, with your family, with your health. He's not done. And your setback that you're going through right now may seem impossible. But can I just remind you today? It's temporary. Setbacks are made for you to have an enormous comeback. He is fighting your battles. He declared on the cross and he rose from the dead that he is working on your behalf. The illness, the financial struggle, the depression, the emotional bankruptcy that some people go through is temporary because God is bringing you and I out of that. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in you today than he that is in the world. Come on, can you put your hands together for Jesus today? You may not see it yet, but it is finished. You may not understand it yet, but it is finished. He has an incredible plan for you and I. But you must believe that with your heart. It's one thing for me to believe it for you, but you have to believe it with your heart. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. I'm going to pray for you. This is one of the most powerful moments for some in your life. I'm sorry for the hurt that you have gone through. Some in here that have suffered loss. Some in here that have been so bankrupt with emotional pain. Can I tell you that God doesn't leave you there? When he said the words, it is finished, he did the work so your life can begin. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that. It's not talking about being religious. You don't have to wear certain clothes or say certain words. It's not even being a part of a church. It's saying, God, I believe in you. I believe that Jesus came and took away, made a pathway for me to live and walk in. If you've never prayed that before, today I want you to just, with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, say Jesus. Say it all over this house. Say, Jesus, today I receive you and I believe what you have done for me. Thank you for paying for my sin. Thank you for giving me hope. Today, I ask you to be my Savior and be my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, and everybody said a big amen today. Come on, put your hands together one more time, really good.